All right, this week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro, and the title of tonight's shiur is Promoting the Torah. And the tonight's shiur is going to take up an exchange between Moshe and Hashem prior to Bnei Yisrael receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. And there's a couple of fascinating ideas that I think emerge from this back and forth, this exchange between Moshe and Hashem. We'll pick up the psukim from Shmos Perek Yates Pasuk Aleph. And it starts like this: Bachudish Hashlishi, let's say Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. In the third month from leaving Eretz Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Bayom Hazeh, Rashi over there explains is Rosh Chodesh. Vayisu Merufidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Bamidbar, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. So Klal Yisrael left from Refidim, that was the name of the place, and they came to Midbar Sinai. And that's where they encamped on the eastern side of the mountain. Neged Ahar means opposite the mountain, but Rashi says over there it means the eastern side of the mountain. Okay, fine. Now, this is where I really want to take up tonight's shiur from. Umoshe Allah El HaElokim, Vayikra Elav Hashem Menahar Lemor, Kosomar Leves Yaakov, Visaged Levnei Yisrael. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, and Hashem calls out to him. And he says, this is what you should say to the house of Yaakov, and you should tell over to the sons, to Bnei Israel, to the sons of Israel. Okay? Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. Va'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim, va'avi eschem elai. And I carried you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me. Ve'ata, and now, im shamoa tishmu'u bekoli ushmartem es brisi. If you listen to my voice and you keep my covenant, you will be a treasure for me from amongst the nations because the whole earth is mine. And involved, and you will also be a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. These are the things which you should say to Bnei Israel. Okay, so Hashem is instructing Moshe as to what to mention or what to say to Klal Yisrael right after they get to Har Sinai. Vayavo Moshe vayikra lezikneh ha'am vayasem lifneihem eis kol advarim ha'ela asher tzivahu Hashem. So Moshe calls together the elders of the nation and he tells them what Hashem told him to say, which is actually interesting that he doesn't go to the Am themselves. It sounds like he told the Zekanim and then they disperse the information to the Am. Vayanu kol ha'am yachta vayomru kol asher diber Hashem naaseh. Vayashev Moshe Estivrei Amal Ad Hashem. And the nation responded favorably, and they said, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. And Moshe brought this information back to Hashem. So I really want to take up the nature of this message that Hashem is sending Klal Yisrael prior to getting the Torah. What was the purpose of this back and forth between Hashem and Moshe, and then Hashem's telling Moshe exactly what to say to Klal Yisrael before they get the Torah? So what's the purpose, and what are the ideas conveyed by these psukim? I mean, just more specifically, in Dalet, it's a strange idea of asiyas chemal kanfei nesharim. What's the significance of, you know, that he carried them on the wings of eagles? Is that literal? What's the idea there? And then why mention v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim? And then also, furthermore, vav, what's the significance of mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh? It's one basic question, which is, what is the theme or what are the themes of this message that Hashem is trying to convey to Klal Yisrael before they get the Torah? And this is the first, this is almost, I would classify this as preparation for accepting the Torah. So what exactly is Hashem expressing to Moshe in order to tell Klal Yisrael? So that's the basic question that we're going to take up and try to, we're mainly going to use Rashi tonight, because Rashi, I think, provides you know, a very nice theme as to how to explain this, these psukim. Okay, so bear with me. So we'll start with the Rashi number two. Rashi is Shmos Perek Yates Pasuk Gimel. Umoshe Allah Bayom Hasheni. On the second day, meaning the day after Rosh Chodesh, Moshe went up. V'chol Aliyosav B'Hashkama Hayu Shenemar V'Yashkemo Moshe B'Boker. So he woke up early. Every time he would go up, he woke up early. Okay, fine. Ko Somar. This is what you should say. B'Lashon Hazeh U'Chaseder Hazeh. So you should say it in this order and with this... Sorry, I said it out of order. With this language and this order. Apparently Hashem is saying to Moshe, you have to say these specific ideas. Dalet, Hay, and Vav. So the obvious question is, why these specific ideas? What is it about these ideas that are so that are so fascinating that and special that you have to say it in this order and in this language. And then he says, Leves Yaakov, Elu Hanashim. So Beis Yaakov is referring to women. Tomar Lahen Belashon Raka. So to them, you should say it over in a softer manner. Visagei Livnei Yisrael, Onshin V'dikdukin Perish L'scharim. Dvarim HaKashin Kegidin. But the punishments and the specifics of the mitzvos, which I think Rashi is referring to, that's what you should explain to the Zecharim, Dvarim HaKashin Kegidin. Things which are hard, which are harsh, as a bitter herb called Gidin. Okay? So the first idea, which I think is a precursor to the theme and the message that Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, is that Rashi's mentioning that Moshe has to talk about the Torah with Klal Yisrael before he mentions this. And apparently he's supposed to talk to the women differently than the men. And if you look in the Medrash kind of says a similar idea, number three. It says, Kosomar Leves Yaakov, Elu Hanashim, this is a reference to the women, Amar Lei, he said to him, Amor Lahem Rashe Dvarim Shehem Yecholos Lishmoa. So tell them the general ideas, which they can, you know, they're able to accept. Visagei Livnei Yisrael, Elu Hanashim, this is a reference to the men, Amar Lei, Amor Lahem Dikduke Dvarim Shehem Yecholos Lishmoa. Say, tell them the specifics which they can accept. Okay, so what do we see about Rashi based on this psukim? What is the advice, or what is Hashem telling Moshe? Why is he telling Moshe to tell it to them in a soft voice, the Torah, and to give them the generals versus the men? Apparently, from the Medrash and Rashi, he's saying that the way that Moshe conveys the Torah is important in terms of its acceptance. So the first idea that Hashem is expressing to Moshe is that he has to be extremely careful from a psychological standpoint as to how he presents the Torah. You know, he has to present the Torah in a certain way to women and in a certain way to men. Women would respond better to, I would say, a softer tone and more general ideas, more philosophical ideas, whereas men tend to be more, I guess, tend to respond better to, you know, more specifics and more onshin and more... And he said, like the Medrash says, Emor lahem dikduke dvarim. So the first idea is that Moshe, in conveying the Torah to Klal Yisrael, it's important the way that he conveys it. He conveys the ideas. And part of the way he conveys the ideas is that he has to convey them in a way that's psychologically appealing to them, that they'll accept it. And I think this is an important idea in general, not just in expressed over here, but also, you know, when you're teaching ideas to other people, you always say that you have to know the crowd that you're teaching it to, and you have to know how to convey the ideas. If you give a shiur in a shul, oftentimes it's different than if you were to give a shiur in a smaller discussion group, or if you were to give a shiur in a yeshiva. So you have to express, even though the ideas may be the same ideas, the way that you express ideas is critical in terms of its acceptance. And it's not just the rationality of the idea, but it's the way that you express it. So I think this is actually an important idea in terms of understanding this area. But the first step in understanding this area is to recognize that concept, that the way in which you present the Torah to Jews in different settings and to different types of Jews is critical in terms of their acceptance of the ideas. So the first message that Hashem is telling Moshe is that you need to be sensitive to that. And when you're expressing the Torah to them, you need to express it in that way. Okay, but I think this is a jumping point for some of the major themes that we're going to express in... coming up, okay? So that's the first point. The first point is Kosomar Leves Yaakov Isagi Levnei Yisrael. But then he goes on and Dalit, and this is where we had some issues. The first message that Hashem tells Moshe to express to Klal Yisrael is Atem Risem, that you saw what I did to the Mitzrayim, and I brought you here on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me. Okay, so what is that trying to convey to Klal Yisrael? Why is he mentioning this? What does it even mean that he brought Klal Yisrael on the wings of eagles? Is it literal? Is it conceptual? So Rashi gives, and I broke up Rashi into three different parts, but I think there's one theme in Rashi. And with that theme, we're going to explain the first message that God is giving Klal Yisrael. So let's start with number four. It's Pasuk Dalet. Atem Re'isem, Lo Misores Hi Biyadchem. It's not a tradition. Velo Bidvarim Ani Mishagir Lachem. And I'm not giving you a verbal account of what happened in Mitzrayim, lo be'edem ani me'ed aleichem, and I'm not giving you testimony, secondary testimony, ela atem re'isem asher asisi le'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to the Mitzrayim. Now, what is he referring to? Al kama averos hayu chayavin li kodem shenizdav gulacham. So they, the Mitzrayim, were really chayav severe punishments for all the averos that they committed until they attacked you. Kodem shenizdav gulacham. Sorry, before they attacked you. Velo nifrati mehem ela al yedchem. But I only punish them through you. So the first idea in this pasuk is that apparently the Mitzrayim were deserving of severe onshim, severe punishments, but Hashem only repaid them for their punishments when they attacked Klal Yisrael. So that's the first idea being expressed. So we're going to put all these ideas, just the facts, on the back burner until we get the whole Rashi, and then we're going to put everything together in this Rashi. So that's the first point. The first point is that he's telling Klal Yisrael, Moshe, tell Klal Yisrael that you saw that I repaid the Mitzrayim once they attacked you. And I repaid them for everything they deserved, but I didn't repay them before then. Okay, that's the first idea. Then the second idea is va'asi eschem ze yom shebo Yisrael laramses. Sorry, va'asa eschem. I mispronounced it. This is a reference to the day that Yisrael came to Ramses. Shehayu Yisrael mefuzaren b'chol eretz Goshen. So the Jews were all spread out in Goshen. Ulishah kala kishebo lisa v'latzes nikbetu kulam laramses. And in a very quick way, Hashem brought everybody together into Ramses. And V'unklis tirgem va'asa v'notlis yaschon. So Unklis explains, it means that I transported you, kimo va'asiya eschem, tikin et adavar derach kavod l'mal. So Unklis is very, in general, he's very particular. Whenever Unklis references God, he always explains the idea that it's not in a non-literal way. So he says, v'notlis yaschon, it means God transported them. It doesn't mean that he literally carried them, because that's impossible. But it means that he transported them. Okay, fine. So the first idea we mentioned, and the second idea now is that apparently there's some special uniqueness to the fact that Hashem was able to bring everybody together from Goshen. So again, idea number one is that he repaid the Mitzrayim for all their averos, but he only repaid them once they attacked the Jews. And idea number two in the pasuk is that he gathered everybody together who were spread apart. Fine. Now, number three, which is the main question, Al Kanfei Nesharim, on the wings of eagles. What does this mean? Rashi, Kinesher Hanose Gozolov Al Kanafov. So God acted like an eagle who carries his children on his wings. Shekol Shar Haofos Nosnim Espeneim Bein Raglam. Most birds, when they're flying with their children, they carry the children in their feet, in their legs. Lefisha Misyarin Meof Acher Shaporeach Agabehem. Because they're afraid of birds that fly above them. Aval ha-nesher hazeh enu misyare ela min ha-adam. But the eagle is only afraid of man. Shema yizrok bo-achetz. Maybe man will hit them with an arrow. Lefi she'en of acher poreach al-gabov. There is no other bird that flies above the eagle. The eagle apparently flies the highest of all the birds. Lechach nostan al-knafav. Therefore, he puts his children, and this is an analogy to God, he puts his children on top of his wings. Omer, and he says, Mutav yikhanes hacheitz bi. It's better that the arrow affect me, velo bivni, and not my children. Af ani asisikin. So too, Hashem did the same thing. Vayisa malacha lokim, vayavo bein machane mitzrayim, vayu mitzrayim zorkim chitzim, ba'avne blistaros, ve'anan mekabon. So he's referencing an event when the Jews were escaping from the Mitzrayim. So there was so what happened, let's look at the psukim, number six. Vayisa, it's number six. Shmos Yodalad Yotas and Chaf. Vayisa Malacha Lokim Olech Lifnei Machane Yisrael Vayilech Me'achareihem Vayisa Amud Hanan Mepneihem Vayamod Me'achareihem. So there was a Malach traveling in front of Klal Yisrael, and the Anan, the cloud, was also, and they both ended up going behind Klal Yisrael. Why? Behind the encampment of Klal Yisrael. Why? Vayavo Bein Machane Mitzrayim Uvein Machane Yisrael Vayhi Anan Vachoshech Vayar Es Alayla Velo Karav Ze Al Ze Kol Alayla. So Rashi over there explains that the reason why the cloud went behind Klal Yisrael was to accept the arrows and the stones that the Egyptians were throwing into to try to kill the Jews. This big cloud was accepting all of them, and it was preventing them from affecting the Jews. Okay? So we have three ideas in this Rashi. The first idea is that Hashem attacked the Mitzrayim only once they attacked the Jews. The second idea is that God was able to bring everybody together into Ramses. And the third idea is that Hashem protected the Jews like an eagle protects his children. And it's a funny analogy because, you know, he says in the analogy that the eagle would rather take the hit than the child take the hit. But like, but interpreting that in terms of God is kind of strange, because God doesn't really take pain. He doesn't take any hits. So what exactly is the analogy of Al Kanfei Nisharim? But there's also, if we want to understand this, we also have to accept the fact, I think, that the pasuk is expressing one theme. Because it would seem strange to have a pasuk with so many different themes if they didn't relate to one another. So the question I'm really asking is, what is the relationship between all these themes? And why is this being expressed to Klal Yisrael at this point, before Har Sinai? Okay, that's the question. Does anybody have any ideas? Any ideas about any of those questions as to why or what the comparison is between... Let's take the Kanfei Nisharim, because I think that's interesting. So does anybody have any ideas about why or what the comparison would be between the way Hashem protects Klal Yisrael and the way that the eagle protects his children? Because to me, it seems like a strange comparison. I mean, the eagle can feel pain, and he's saying, I'm willing to accept the pain instead of my child, but God doesn't really feel pain. So what exactly is the comparison between the two? All right. So if anybody has a possibility, just feel free to, you know, to stop me, to cut me off. Okay. So I was thinking about this. Maybe I was thinking about this backwards, but the Al Kanfei Nisharim, it's kind of the central theme, I think, of the pasuk. But I think the other ideas fit into Al Kanfei Nisharim. So maybe I'll start with that, even though it's a little out of order in the pasuk. But I think it's a nice idea, and I think we can take from that to understand the other concepts. You see, Hashem is expressing to Klal Yisrael an idea in protecting them, in their security, their sense of security. And the idea of Al Kanfei Nisharim that Rashi is expressing is a beautiful one. What do I think it is? See, I think the idea is from the Anan, from the cloud, that the Jews were in front of the Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim were behind them. But the uniqueness of the cloud was that the Jews didn't even know what was happening behind them. They were unaware of the fact that they were under attack. And there is a greatness to a protection in which the person isn't even aware of the protection, you know, being given to them. And like, for example, like by Israel, and I was thinking about Israel and the rockets and the Hamas. So it's true that the Iron Dome, you know, knocks down many of the rockets, and many of the rockets enter into the land of into Eretz Yisrael, but they end up in fields, random fields. But nevertheless, the fact that you know that there are rockets being fired at you, so that produces like a certain insecurity and a certain fear. Just the knowledge that you're under attack is even if you know you're going to be protected, is not a pleasant feeling. There's still an insecurity there, even if you know you're protected. And you see that in Eretz Yisrael. See, the idea of the protection that was given to Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim was that it was a protection in which Klal Yisrael didn't even understand or didn't have any fear. They didn't know that they were under attack. They didn't know what was happening. They only know afterwards, but at the time, they didn't really know what was happening to them. So one idea being expressed to Klal Yisrael is that God is capable of giving them a sense of security and protection above and beyond, you know, the normal sense of protection. Whereas normally a person feels protected by an army, but they're still aware of the fact that they're under attack. But over here, by God's protection, Al Kanfei Nisharim, that God's protection is unique in the sense that he can shield Klal Yisrael from even the knowledge that they're under attack. And that type of protection is really, you know, a much more profound protection than human protection. So that was the first idea that I was thinking about, but I think that idea also fits into the theme of the pasuk. You see, the first idea, and then I'll explain them in order, but the first idea is that Hashem, he only repaid the Egyptians, you know, properly once they attacked the Jews. So that is also, there's also an idea on protection there of Klal Yisrael. And the idea is, I believe, that Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered very harsh. You know, when Hashem repays somebody in a perfect justice way, it's very harsh. So the other idea being told to Klal Yisrael is that in their protection, there is also an aspect of Midas HaDin. And that should also give Klal Yisrael a certain sense of security. The fact that they're not just being protected for the sake of being protected, but in the protection, there's also a meeting out of justice. So with that knowledge and with that idea, a person would feel a much greater sense of security to know that the nature of the repayment is extremely harsh, and not harsh in the sense of it being unfair, but midas hadin, which is considered a harshness of justice. And the third idea, which, like I said, I'm going a little out of order, is the idea of the people being gathered together. See, I think there's an idea of security in numbers. And when you have lots of people scattered in one area, so they feel more insecure. But when you put everybody together and they're all at one, so there's a certain security. We say there's security in numbers. You know, when you're alone, when you feel alone, you don't feel secure. You don't feel protected. When you feel like you're with other people, you feel protected. Okay, so I think I've been hitting on this point a couple times, but the main idea of the first message that Hashem is conveying to Klal Yisrael is the nature of the protection in which God afforded them and which they're capable of seeing from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there's three unique ideas expressed in that. You know, one idea is the nature of, you know, the way that they're protected, that God expresses Midas Adin in protecting them, which is like an extremely powerful reaction to being attacked. And the other idea is that Hashem facilitated an internal security by rounding up scattered people and putting them together, the Jews together. And the third idea is that the nature of the protection of God, of Klal Yisrael, is much more unique than any human protection, in the sense that the people were shielded in the most fullest sense from any sense of danger and fear. So the main theme, I think, is that Hashem is trying to express to Klal Yisrael the nature, the level of security and protection they can feel through God. And they witnessed it themselves. He's saying, Atem Rishem, you saw it. You saw the level and the sense of security that you can feel through God. So that's the first message. But I think, as I said before, I think that the messages fit into this theme that Hashem told Moshe in the very beginning. That when you're expressing the Torah to the people, you want to be sensitive to what the people need and what the people want. And you want to demonstrate all the positive aspects of the Torah. And you want to do it in a very psychologically appealing way. So the first idea, which Hashem recognizes, is very appealing, and it's true. All these ideas are true, but they're also very appealing to Klal Yisrael, is that they should see the level of security and protection that Hashem afforded them in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And through that, you know, that'll be a reason, because I think I'm going to get into the main idea, but that'll be a reason for them to accept the Torah. Okay, so that's the first idea. The first idea is protection. Now, what about the second idea? There's three ideas. So what about the second idea being expressed? So then we go back to Pasuk He. Ve'ata im shamoa tishmu bekoli ushmartem es brisi v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. So now the second theme is that if you listen, heed to my words, and you keep the covenant, so you will be a treasure to me from amongst the nations, Kili kol aretz, because the whole earth is mine. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean you will be a treasure to me? And this is the second theme that Hashem is expressing. And if you look at number 9 in the Rashi in Shmos, he says, Ve'ata, im ata tekablu aleichem yerav lachem mikan va'elech shekol haschalos kashos. So he's saying that if you accept it, it'll get easier, because the beginning is always hard. So he's saying, he's expressing a true idea there, that if, you know, the beginning, when you first accept the Torah and you're coming from, you know, foreign culture or foreign ideas, it's much harder, but eventually it'll get easier. Okay, ushmartem es brisi, she'achros imachem al shmiras Torah. If you keep the bris, the covenant that I will make with you with regard to keeping the Torah, then what will happen? You'll be a skula, which is an otzar chaviv, a beloved treasure chest. Kimo uskulas malachim, like the treasures of malachim. Kli yakar va'avanim tovos shamalachim gonzimosam. So it's a reference to precious stones that the malachim, that kings in general, they hide away. Kach atem tiuli segula mishar umos. So too, in that way, you will be for me a treasure, like treasured stones from amongst the umos. Velo tomru atem levadchem shali. But don't say that you alone are mine. Ve'ein li achirim imachem. But there's no others with you. Uma, that's a strange concept. What is he talking about? Uma yeshli oj tehe achibaschem nikaris. What else do I have to express the fact that my love for you is obvious? Kili kol aretz vehem be'enai v'lefanai l'chlum. And they are nothing before me. I don't really understand the end of the Rashi so well. But the first part of the Rashi, I think I think I can. I think I understand what Rashi's making reference to. But what does he mean that "V'lo tomru atem levadchem sheli ve'ein li acherim imachem"? That you will be a skula from amongst the nations, but don't say that you alone are for me and there's no others with me. Okay. So this is the second theme that I think that Hashem is expressing to Klal Yisrael in order to appeal to them, in order to get them to accept the Torah willingly. So the second theme is the idea, I think, of value. See, what's the concept of a skulas mulachem, of hiding away precious stones? So a person hides away precious stones to express the value that you have for the stones. You don't hide away things that you think are junk. You wouldn't take a cheap piece of jewelry and hide it away, but you would take your diamond rings and you would hide it away. You would put it in like a lockbox and you would express. So that expresses a certain preciousness and a certain love and a certain value, really like its financial value also, a certain value of the thing that you're hiding. So the second idea that's being expressed to Klal Yisrael is that if they accept the Torah, that's the idea, Ushmartem Esprisi, then their value will be elevated. That they will have a certain elevated value, right? But what is that? But what's the idea that you shouldn't think that you're alone or mine? Lelo tomer atem levadchem sheli ve'ein li acherim imachem. You see, the value of Klal Yisrael is going to be a relative value, meaning relative to the other nations, Klal Yisrael is more valuable to the world. Yeah, and you see this, like other nations, they come and go, and you know they contribute various ideas to society and to the world, but they come and go. But there's a certain value that Klal Yisrael has to God and as well to the world that the other nations don't possess. So the second theme that God's expressing to Klal Yisrael is that they will have an elevated value if they keep the Torah. So again, the first idea is that there's a certain security that's afforded to them or that may be afforded to them through God that they can't get without God. And the second idea is that if they accept the Torah, they will have a certain elevated value. And I was just thinking of a nice example to this. In graduate school, I took a business class in terms of how to set up a private practice. So my teacher, I remember, he told me that they did a study as to what the number one reason is for why people leave their jobs, why they quit their jobs. So most of us in the classroom, we thought the reason is for money, because of money, because they wanted more money or they didn't feel like they're getting enough money. But the true reason that this research study found out is that it's an idea in value. That if a person is, if the boss and the company expresses the value to the employee of what they're worth to the company, not in financial terms, but their value, and they feel appreciated in terms of that value, then they're much more likely to stay. So the biggest reason why people leave their jobs is because they don't feel like they're valued by their company. And that's not money, it's not anything like that, but it's really a sense of value. So value, the way that you feeling a sense of value and a sense of, I guess, preciousness is very appealing psychologically, and it's a critical idea for a person to stay with something, to stay with their job, as the example that I used. So the second theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using, and he's telling Moshe to express to Klal Yisrael, is that their value will be elevated. But, right, so that's the second idea, that their value will be elevated, and that's another idea in expressing or in trying to get them to, to come to the Torah willingly. Okay. What is the third idea? And then we're gonna round everything up. So what's the third idea? The attempt to Yuli. If we go back to the pasukim, if you look at number, look at the pasuk vav. So you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the things which you should say to Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so what's the third theme, the third idea that's being expressed to Klal Yisrael? So look at number 10 in Rashi on the source sheet. You'll be officers. Like it says over there by David, that the children of David were priests. Okay? And if you look at number 11, the Ibn Ezra explains also, anytime it says Kohen, it means like a servant. It's a reference to a servant of God. Uvnei David Kohanim. Ki adanu ki bnei melech gedola yesh lahem, Rak hakasav hodiyenu shayu ovdi Hashem. There's a greatness to being the son, the child of a king, but the Torah is trying to tell us, the Tanakh is trying to tell us that they were also servants of God. Okay, so what exactly is the third idea? So the third idea, I think, is an idea in prestige and in importance, chashivas. You see, v'atem tiyu mamlachas kohanim, as Rashi says, sarim, that you'll be officers. An officer is a person who has a makom, a position of prestige in the kingdom, in the kingship. So the idea that's being expressed to Klal Yisrael is that by accepting the Torah and keeping the Torah, they will also gain a certain prestige amongst the nations, a prestige, a mamlachas kohanim, a prestige that comes about through the fact that they're worshippers of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think the idea, the concept being expressed is really that Hashem is telling Moshe, you know, how to present the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And he's saying to Moshe that you need to present it in a psychologically appealing way, and you have to be sensitive to that. And as we said in the first idea, he has to be sensitive in the way that he tells it over, that he has to be softer to the women, and he has to be harsher to the men. But also in terms of the ideas, the positive ideas, and the appealing ideas of the Torah, he has to express that to Klal Yisrael. And the first idea, as I said, was an idea that Klal Yisrael have to feel secure. They have to feel like they can gain a certain sense of security. They also have to feel valued. And the third idea is that they have to feel prestige. And the idea is that if they feel all these things, if Moshe gives over these ideas to Klal Yisrael, then despite the fact that there is Schar V'Onesh, and despite the hard aspects of the Torah, they will willingly accept the Torah. So before actually bringing them to Har Sinai, Hashem is almost like, he wants to hear them accept the Torah willingly, but he wants to give them the positive ideas, the ideas that are very appealing to Klal Yisrael in order to convince them to accept the Torah willingly. And we see that it worked, because it says at the end of the psukim that we took up, it says, Vayavo Moshe Vayikra Lezikdei Ha'am, Vayasam Lefnehem Eiz Kol Advarim Ha'ela Asher Tzivahu Hashem. So Moshe told them all these ideas, Vayanu Chol Am Yachta, Vayomru Kol Asher Dibir Hashem Naaseh, Vayashem Moshe Estivere Am Alad Hashem. And Moshe, the people responded, and they said, everything that Hashem said, we will do, and Moshe brought that back to Hashem. So you see that Hashem, he crafted an argument to promote the Torah. That's why the shir is titled Promoting the Torah, because he crafted an argument to promote the Torah in an appealing way, in a psychologically appealing way to the nation. And he wanted to express to them all the potential positives that they would feel and that they would gain by accepting the Torah, despite the negatives. So he's almost like pitching the Torah to Klal Yisrael in order to get them to accept it willingly. And these are all true ideas, they're not false, and they end up accepting it willingly. And there's an interesting concept also. If you look at number 10, it says, Ela hadavarem lo pachos v'lo yoser, no less and no more. So Moshe was instructed to give these ideas over in a very specific way. We saw in number 2 in Rashi, he says, Kosamar b'lashon hazeh u'chaseder hazeh. You have to use this lashon and in this order. Apparently, the arguments being crafted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu are very specific. And he understands, obviously Hashem understands the psyche of the nation. And he crafts the arguments in a specific manner, and the ideas are very precise, and there's a specific order as to how the ideas are expressed. Now, what is that order? See, the idea, I think, is he's going from the most important, that a person needs security. That's like the most important idea to a person, that a person feel secure and feel protected. And then he's going to the almost, I would say, like luxurious aspects, like feeling prestige. Like a person doesn't need to feel prestige, they need to feel security. Then value is the second idea, and a certain prestige is the third idea. So he's going from the most significant to them and the most important to them and the one that they witnessed themselves, and he's moving outwards towards a lesser important idea, but nevertheless an appealing idea as well. So the idea of the psukim, of this back and forth, before they go to Har Sinai, and they accept the Torah, they need to accept the Torah in a willing way. And Hashem is crafting an argument through Moshe to Klal Yisrael in order for them to be attracted to the Torah naturally and to want to accept the Torah naturally. And the arguments being made are very specific and very ordered in a particular way in order to get Klal Yisrael to go ahead with it. But you see that Klal Yisrael actually, just the last point, you see that Klal Yisrael didn't actually accept the Torah in this way. It's true that at this point they did, but when they actually get to Har Sinai, a couple of psukim later, number 12, it says, Vayotze Moshe Esa'om likros Elokim min ha'machane vayisyatzvu b'sach tisa'ar. So Moshe brought Klal Yisrael towards Har Sinai, and they stood at the bottom of the Har. And there's a famous medrash brought down by Rashi over there, number 13. He says, "B'sach tisahar lefish pshuto beragle ahar." So based on the pshat, they were really at the bottom of the Har. U'midrasho shenitla shahar mimakomo v'nichba alehem kigigis. But the medrash says that that Har Sinai was lifted up over the heads of the Jews like a tub over them, and basically they were threatened: if you don't accept the Torah, then the mountain will fall on you and you will be destroyed. So we see that even though, despite the fact that at this point, you know, they are accepting the Torah, they say Kol Asher, not like we said, Vayomer Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Nasa, they're accepting it because of all the appealing, you know, elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting to them. When they actually got down to Har Sinai, they wouldn't have necessarily accepted it, and that's why there was a need for the Har to be threatened and to there to be a certain fear of the Har falling upon them, because apparently when they actually got to Har Sinai, they wouldn't necessarily have accepted it out of willingness. So you see that there is really Hashem, before they go to Har Sinai and before they actually experience the Har itself, He wants to present the Torah in an appealing way, and He wants to promote it in an appealing way, and He wants to get the Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah in a willing fashion. So that really is the reason why the Torah is telling us this back and forth between Moshe and Hashem, and the message that Moshe is supposed to convey to the Jews prior to Har Sinai. Okay, does anybody have any questions or any points they want to add? Or is there anything unclear about the shir? Okay. All right, fine. So let me just, I'm just going to summarize. Just as I said before, there's this interesting exchange between Moshe and Hashem before they go to Har Sinai, and it seems like there's a message being conveyed to Moshe that he should tell Klal Yisrael. And I wanted to understand through Rashi what the message was. And I think that the message is that you have to present the Torah in an appealing way in order to get people to accept it. And you don't just present the Torah in a harsh way. You don't say, I'm a rationalist and here are the ideas, but there's a way in which you convey the Torah in which it's appealing, and Hashem's telling Moshe how to do that. And the first thing He tells him is that you have to present it with a certain voice and a certain softness to the women and a certain harshness to the men. But then He's also expressing ideas that Klal Yisrael will be attracted to naturally in order to get them to be in line with the Torah and to accept the Torah in a willing fashion. And the ideas that were mentioned, the themes are the idea of security, the idea of value, and the idea of prestige. And those ideas are very, as I said, they're very psychologically appealing ideas to a nation. And then it worked. You see, Nasa. So right after Moshe presents these arguments to Klal Yisrael, they do accept it willingly. And there was a perfection in the arguments themselves, in the order of the arguments and the way they were said. But it works, and they accept it. But then when they actually get to Har Sinai and they're faced with, you know, the prospect of actually keeping the Torah and the harshness of the Torah, because mitzvahs are very difficult, and also their own shim, and it's not necessarily like we tell Gerim that they shouldn't be misgayer because the Torah is so hard. So when they actually get to Har Sinai, you see that they have some doubts, and there needs to be the Medrash says that the Har was placed over them like a tub to express the fact that there was a lack of complete willingness at that point to accept the Torah because of the harshness of the Torah. But prior to them actually going to Har Sinai, they do accept the Torah based on the ideas, the appealing ideas being expressed to Klal Yisrael. So maybe the message that we could take away from this year is that be sensitive to other people when you're presenting the Torah, and try to fashion your arguments in the most appealing way. And it doesn't mean to be manipulative, but it means to take true ideas and present them beautifully and present them in an appealing way. And if you do it in that way, then people will be more willing to accept the Torah and be more willing to, you know, to be in line with the Torah, as opposed to just, you know, saying this is this and that is that. So we have to, so I think that's really the conclusion of tonight's share. So if anybody has any questions or any points.
I think it's not only good to present to other people, but for ourselves as well.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, just because you're born into something doesn't mean it's easy.
No, of course, yes. Yeah. I agree with that.
Something. It's beautiful ideas for, you know, yourself as well, that, you know, we as Jews being born into something should willingly accept it also.
Right. No, I agree with you. But I'm just saying, I agree with you. You're just saying that you're more likely to accept the Torah from the standpoint of if you see the ideas that are appealing, as opposed to if somebody just stands in front of you and just says, you know, if you steal, you get this punishment, and if you keep Shabbos, you get this reward, and you just presented them like a checklist, but you're not sensitive to the person, what the person needs, and the nature of the person, and the intellectual ability of the person, all these things you have to take into account when you're giving an idea over. So that's, yeah. So even for a person who,
right.
Yeah, even for a person who's already been doing, you know, who's been keeping the Torah, that's what I'm saying the idea of the shir is. The idea of the shir is that there's a method to promoting the Torah. And that's why I titled the shir, Promoting the Torah. There's a method to promoting the Torah. And the method to promoting the Torah is that you have to, like I said, you have to be sensitive in the way that you give it over, and you have to present ideas that are appealing to a person, as long as they're true. You can't manipulate them. You don't want to manipulate people, but you want to present true ideas that are appealing, and that's the best method to get people to, you know, to accept something, even if there's a harshness to it. Okay?
Right.
All right. Anybody have any questions or any other points? All right. So I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and have a good next week, okay? All right. Bye-bye.